Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, December 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Keith Ellison says he'll resign from Congress if he gets the top DNC job, and the Minneapolis City Council approves a budget. Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison says he will resign from office if he's elected chair of the Democratic National Committee in February. Ellison said yesterday he wants to have only one full-time commitment if he wins the DNC job. Ellison's plans have touched off a scramble among potential candidates to fill his 5th district seat. Tim Pugmire reports.
Ellison said in a statement that he wants to be all in to meet the challenge of being DNC chair, including the job's travel, planning, and fundraising responsibilities. He said he will resign as a member of Congress to maximize his effectiveness as chair. He previously said he thought he could hold down both jobs. Ellison was first elected to the 5th District congressional seat in 2006. He was also the first Muslim elected to Congress. Through a spokesman, he declined an interview request. DFL Governor Mark Dayton said he supports Ellison's decision and his candidacy.
He has, I think, very strong credibility. I think being a Muslim American is really an important statement that we are a party that's going to be inclusive, African-American leader, and just an outstanding congressman and representative of Minnesota.
Dayton will call a special election to fill the 5th District vacancy once it occurs. The district, which covers the city of Minneapolis and several nearby suburbs, is one of the safest in the country for Democrats. That's why several DFL office holders are considering a bid to replace Ellison. State Senator Scott Dibble of Minneapolis has said he plans to run if Ellison leaves. Senator Patricia Torres-Ray of Minneapolis is also a potential candidate. DFL Senator Jeff Hayden of Minneapolis said he's talking to his family and supporters about running.
I'm not ready to say that I'm ready to run, but I certainly want to take a look to see if the body of work that I've done and some of the great ideas that we have around wage inequality and around, you know, self-determination and work, if those things that we've been able to do and I've been able to help be a part of in Minnesota, are those things transferable on the national level?
At least one Republican is ready to run. Frank Drake ran against Ellison in November and lost by a wide margin. Still, Drake says he's organized and ready to go again in a special election.
I grew up in Minnesota, Minneapolis all my life. I've been around the Minneapolis politics all my life. And I just want to see Congress act in a way that represents all the people.
Drake could have company. Minnesota Republican Party Chairman Keith Downey said despite the 5th District's strong DFL history, he thinks other GOP candidates will look at running.
Given the circumstances, an open seat, some of the dynamics of this most recent election, I think people would be excited about competing for that, and the party will compete for it, and so it's very possible, maybe even likely, that other people would be intrigued enough to jump in.
Downey also shared his thoughts about the prospect of Ellison leading the DNC. The state GOP chairman said Democrats would be lurching even further leftward after big election losses. Ellison said in a statement that he believes Democrats are ready for a massive comeback. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton says negotiations on a possible special session are likely to stretch into next week, despite hopes of getting definitive answers sooner. Dayton says his staff and legislative working groups are still discussing a health insurance relief plan, a tax cut package, and a retooled bill for statewide construction projects. The last one could be the trickiest because Dayton is insisting that cash not be used to cover the cost of some projects. Republicans want to keep borrowing under $1 billion.
Whatever's not in this bonding bill is no assurance for the next bonding bill. We don't know when the next bonding bill will be.
Dayton says proposals need to be finalized in writing by the end of next week if there is to be a special session on December 20th. That's a target set by all sides. A former Minneapolis school principal is charged with theft after she allegedly used her district credit card for personal purchases. Solveig Wastvedt reports.
A school district audit found Ann DePerry spent nearly $12,000 on her card for personal purchases and about $5,000 for purchases considered suspicious. DePerry resigned as principal of Whittier International School in November 2015. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman says DePerry is charged with 3 counts of theft by swindle.
Principals are really important people in school systems, I believe. And, you know, we want to be very aggressive about this abuse of public funds.
The district says it has started monthly audits of purchasing cards and reduced the number of cards in circulation. Freeman says he does not expect the case to go to trial. He says if DePerry pleads guilty, she could face probation and be required to repay funds. Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minneapolis City Council has signed off on a budget for next year that includes $1.3 million to hire 15 new police officers. Before they passed the spending plan last night, the council members heard from about 24 opponents who say the resources would be better spent on crime prevention. But as Matt Sepik reports, council members made a series of tweaks to the budget in the hopes of addressing those concerns.
The group Neighborhoods Organizing for Change has led the opposition to the police hiring push, both at a budget hearing last week and last night, just before the final vote. Londell French of South Minneapolis was among many who said additional officers won't improve public safety. French, who's black, said Minneapolis police arrested him last year as he was working part-time as an Uber driver on Lake Street. French says he still can't figure out why he was charged with trespassing.
We're over-policed in my neighborhood. We're over-policed. Too many people who look like me are going to jail for frivolous stuff. Trespassing? That's frivolous.
Mayor Betsy Hodges' $1.3 billion budget for next year spends nearly 8% more than this year, and it increases overall property tax collections by 5.5%. The police department is getting a $5 million budget boost, or about 3%. The spending plan calls for a dozen of the 15 new officers to focus on community policing. The other three will specialize in responding to mental health crises. The council spent several hours making last-minute tweaks to the budget before passing it. In response to concerns about a rise in violent crime downtown, mainly in the Warehouse District, Councilmember Lisa Goodman redirected $250,000 from tourism marketing to the Downtown Improvement District for more eyes on the street.
They would be working at the direction of the DID, which the business community already funds, to make sure that people have an escort downtown and feel an additional sense of safety.
The council also approved a plan by member Alondra Cano to study ways to end relationships with financial institutions that invest in the fossil fuel industry. Cano says the city should stop doing business with Wells Fargo because of its recent fraudulent account scandal and its involvement in funding the Dakota Access Pipeline.
We're looking to explore just better opportunities for the city through our tax dollars to invest in socially responsible companies that are not decimating the environment.
Cano says that could include setting up a municipal bank. Wells Fargo was unable to provide a response last night. Another budget amendment from council members Cano and Cam Gordon directs city finance staff to provide annual reports about ongoing costs of U.S. Bank Stadium, its parking ramps, and the adjacent park. Also approved, a plan from council member Lisa Bender to reallocate $67,000 to a program aimed at preventing young victims of violent crime from retaliating against their attackers. At the request of Mayor Betsy Hodges, the council pulled $100,000 from the city attorney's office and put it into the Civil Rights Department to investigate what Hodges says is an uptick in racial and religious discrimination since the presidential election.
We are in a very divided state in our country and in our world, and this is one of the many things we're going to need to do to think about how to protect the people that we represent here in the city of Minneapolis.
Hodges says the reallocated money will pay for another full-time civil rights investigator. Covering politics, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.